Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 8th of August, recording at 9:26 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. And as far as stock markets are concerned, it's all red ink. We had a big sell-off in Asia, and with declines of 2 to 3% the norm, and a few that were smaller. China A shares were particularly hard hit. I think that was they were down something like 3.78%. Europe was hit even harder, and some early rallies in Spain and the Spanish and Italian stock markets on falling yields were quickly reversed here. And we had some big hits here. The DAX, for instance, German DAX index, down over 5%, 5.02%. The Americas were worse still. The Dow, looks like the S&P has gone out with a decline of 6.66%. Slightly higher percentage on the NASDAQ composite, 6.9%. Brazil was clobbered by over 8%, and Canada down 4% in here. Against that background, long-dated government bond prices soared. The U.S. 30-year Treasury bond is currently up over 3 full points, and commodity markets. Industrial commodities, I should say, were hammered, none more than crude oil, which for the WTI is currently trading at about $80.50, and the Brent is 103 and change. Natural gas might have been the only commodity, it's probably the only commodity that I've seen that's actually industrial commodity or agricultural commodity that's up on the day, and it's up tiny 21 cents. Grains and beans down quite heavily. The industrial metals down quite heavily. Going against the trend were silver closed over $1.35 off the high, but it's up 85 cents here at 39.06. But gold was the real standout, up $55.77 as I speak. It's still trading in the after-hours trading. That takes it up to $117.19.5. $117.19. So that's another new high. Okay, so what's going on here? Well, if you find this frightening, it's because it is. And we've got a market a meltdown in confidence here, leading to these very big declines. We've got a rapid flight occurring into bond markets. I was going to say the exceptions being the periphery European economies, but the decision by the, or announcement, I believe, by the ECB that they would be buying Spanish and Italian bonds has helped to pull their yields back from the above 6% levels where they had closed on Friday. Gold is certainly the safe haven of choice. The Swiss franc is right up there, very firm. U.S. dollars slipped to 75.46 against the Swiss franc in here. In my review, I realized I hadn't mentioned the currencies much, but the dollar index is a little bit higher. See, the Australian dollar is down to 101.89. Now, the euro is currently at 141.83 against the greenback. The Asian dollar index was lower in here today. So let's take stock markets here. The evidence continues to confirm and reconfirm that we've got a bear market underway here. The duration of which remains to be seen. And on a short-term basis, we're very oversold, not surprisingly, because it's been unrelenting selling pressure since we had the upside failure by the NASDAQ, which was really confirmed on the 27th of July. And that kind of signaled, I think, to all, certainly all technical traders who are following stock markets, that those big trading ranges that we had seen for so many months, which involved reversion to the mean against the stronger stock market indices, such as those of the US and the German DAX, were not going to be mean reversion consolidations prior to an upward break, but were instead going to be top formations. And it's been pretty dramatic, as you know. So that leaves us with a very short-term oversold condition technically. Markets have fallen fast enough so that they're going to prompt responses. There's one article saying that Bernanke, well, I think the Fed is actually holding a meeting and will be giving a press release at some point tomorrow afternoon, I think sort of around 2, 2.15, 2.30 U.S. time probably. So this is sufficiently dramatic to increase the risk of a further slowing in global GDP growth. And in the West, that means the risk of a slide back into recession. So this is certainly going to concentrate the minds of policymakers at central banks and also treasury ministries. Now, and so it, and indeed so it should. My own feeling is that the Fed is going to roll out a QE3 pretty quickly. They may call it something else, but I don't think, I mean, Bernanke had talked about what he might do in the Humphrey Hawkins testimony that he gave. That was last month, I believe. And in that, he mentioned the possibility of buying long-dated treasuries. Well, long-dated treasury yields are hardly the problem because they've come down quite a bit. And I'd be surprised if the Fed wasn't thinking about something a little bit more imaginative than that. But as many commentators will know, that the Fed has less ammunition this time around. The central banks that are in a much stronger position to do something at this stage would be those of the growth economies, China, India, Brazil, which have been fighting inflation increasingly aggressively in recent months. It was only late last month that the Reserve Bank of India surprised the markets with I think it was the 11th consecutive interest rate hike and a 50 basis point one at that, whereas the others had all been a quarter or 25 basis points. So those central banks, which have been concerned about inflation and have actually been trying to slow growth somewhat, are in a pretty good position here today to announce that the hikes have ceased and to actually start reversing some of those tightening measures. Now, their inflation figures are going to stay high for a little longer because that's lagging data. But it doesn't take too much imagination to appreciate with the rout that's occurring in the industrial commodity markets that inflation pressures are going to come down really quite sharply. And when you get stock market declines that are this sharp, that does affect confidence, inevitably. And so it does have a knock-on effect. I think it's probably a good thing that the markets have come down as quickly as they have when it gets the selling over more rapidly, but it also concentrates the minds of policymakers rather than a water torture type drip drip type of decline overall. So weigh it all up, and it's pretty nasty. The silver lining here is that stock market valuations have appreciated or have improved considerably as a result of this sell-off. They've improved considerably everywhere. Brazil, for instance, price earnings ratio on the main Bovespa index, the IBOV, which was down 8% today, as I mentioned earlier. The price earnings ratio on that is 7.5. The yield is getting close to 5%. I think it's over 4.8% right now. So those are very attractive valuations, quite clearly. And the particularly the yield, because people will say, and well, this person will say, that we are going to have some earnings downgrades. I've been saying that all along, and this sell-off makes it absolutely obvious. And what will be of concern to policymakers is that while many multinational companies leveraged to the global economy, and those are companies that Fuller Money likes a lot, those are Fuller Money secular themes, as you are probably well aware, they've got every reason to slim even further. So lay off more workers if they feel they've got any excess at their plant, and also to hang on to more cash, strengthen their balance sheet. So they're doing just the opposite of what governments are doing. The head of S&P, which downgraded U.S. government treasuries, says that on their forecasts, the U.S. debt figure will go from $12 trillion to $20 trillion over the next decade. That's pretty nasty. Companies are responding to this by improving their balance sheet wherever possible. And the strong multinational companies leveraged to Asian-led growth can do just that, and are. So, where do we go from here? Well, short-term oversold condition. Don't be surprised if we get a technical bounce fairly soon, probably this week. But I wouldn't trust the first bounce because I think that will be mainly short covering, and inevitably some shorts have been established there. And we've seen a spike in the VIX. I think I saw a headline saying that the VIX index had pushed up over 50. That type of action does coincide with market bottoms. But will it be the bottom? Well, it could, but any bounce would certainly see a retest of the lows, and it would be premature at this stage, as Owen was saying in his audios on Friday and Thursday of last week, that it would certainly be premature to be calling a bottom here right now. The only thing I can call, which stands out very clearly, is an extremely oversold short-term condition. And it's not hard to appreciate why the markets are so oversold after this accelerating decline that we have actually seen. So I would expect some sort of technical rebound, but I would then also expect the low to be retested. I would expect some sort of government announcements to be forthcoming here fairly soon. And hopefully that will include a change in tack from the growth economies that that I mentioned. And Overall, though, it will take time for stock markets to establish floors and to rebuild some support before confidence improves. And I don't think that will happen without a fairly positive response, which I am anticipating. Whether it comes this week or not remains to be seen. But needless to say, more of the type of action we've seen in here, well, on Friday and again today, and there will definitely be some policy action. But that's very much required, in my opinion, here to start to reassure investors. I saw an article saying that liquidity had not dried up in this environment, which was being described as orderly, although it wouldn't take many more days like today to become really quite disorderly. Again, silver lining, the good news, valuations, particularly or not least among Fuller Money themes, are becoming quite attractive once again. But I would not go rushing in just, or I will not be going rushing in just now. Although all the old adages that we're well aware of, you buy when there's blood in the streets. If I were to do anything right now, it would certainly be to buy, not to sell in global stock markets. And I'm sure we'll hear more talk about that from some of the corporate players as well. But it will take time here. One, for effective policy decisions to be made. Two, for the selling to start to dry up. Three, for confidence to start improving to enable that support building activity to appear on the charts. And once all that has taken place, we'll be spoiled for choice because of lower valuations and very attractive yields overall. In terms of currencies, the dollar is still soft, but we are seeing some weakness in the commodity currencies, and those countries will be a bit relieved to see that action overall. Commodity price inflation, I can't emphasize this more strongly, so I'm picking it up late in this audio. But those of you who have been regular listeners to the audio will have heard me say on so many occasions over the last decade that commodities were first an opportunity, but then also destined to become the next big problem. And we've seen them become the big problem twice over that time period. And the first time was in 2008, and they were a major factor in the market meltdown that that actually occurred, particularly for the growth economies that weren't entangled in all the CDO debacle. And also that had the growth economies also had sound banking sectors and still do. So the commodity spike, particularly crude oil going up to $147, was a real problem back then. And we saw another commodity spike earlier this year with crude oil moving up to uncomfortable heights. That's being unwound. So again, a term I've used to describe this action, we're getting a reset. And commodities, in my opinion, will remain in a secular bull market. But I've said all along that that would be punctuated, interrupted by the business cycle, and this slowdown in GDP growth is just that, downturn in the business cycle, pulling commodity prices lower, including a lot of deleverage that's actually taking place, and we'll probably see some more of that overall. And the best news would be to get that crude oil price down even further. I we definitely feel that the Brent crude at 103, that's still too high. We'd like to see it at least another $10 lower, and that would be a favorable condition for the global economy overall. Gold has been absolutely phenomenal in here, needless to say. Those who are holding positions in the gold bullion funds have every reason to feel secure and happy. On a short-term technical basis, gold is becoming more overextended relative to its 200-day moving average. And against this background overall, the higher gold goes on its own, and it's not quite the last man standing in here because we've also got silver that's pretty firm. But it's this rise is especially about gold. And being the last man standing, as it were, that does create a susceptibility to another mean reversion phase. Will that occur prior to the main period of seasonal outperformance or not? Well, in this market environment, we should not be surprised by any development. So it is quite possible, but I don't think that it would be more than a bit of a mean reversion corrective phase. And it would require, to trigger that, it would require a downward dynamic. We had a warning shot last Thursday in the form of a downside key day reversal, but as Owen pointed out quickly on Friday, there was no downside follow-through. So it would take another, warning shot, as I say, and it would take another downward dynamic and some follow-through over the next day or two to signal a short-term high in that gold price. But again, I emphasize I wouldn't expect anything more than some mean reversion towards the rising 200-day MA at most. Okay, let's see what the Fed has to say tomorrow. Meanwhile, all the best.